Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the body, on the left side of the upper chest, is a piece of flesh. And arteries, veins, etc. are connected to this piece of flesh. And the whole body revolves around this. This is called the heart. Then within this is the ruh. Call it the soul. Arabic is called the ruh. So the human heart is a different thing, and the soul is a different thing altogether. The human heart, it does not, you will not see the stain of sin in the human heart. No matter how much sins a person commits, if the doctor has to operate on you, right, and he takes out your heart as he's correcting something, arteries or whatever he's correcting, you won't see the stain of sin in that human soul. And so the stain of sin is perceived in the ruh, and the ruh is situated around the heart. So when you hear of the hadith, Allah creates mankind, and there's phases of the creation. Min nutfatin, summa min adaqa, summa min mudgha. Right? So at that time, the soul that comes is not the soul, is not the animal soul, it is the spiritual soul. The difference between the animal soul and the spiritual soul is the animal soul or the animal heart, life revolves around that. And in some way or the other, this soul is there from the time of inception. From inception it's there. And how do you know it's there from inception? Because the growth depends on that. Min nutfatin, summa min alaqa, summa min mudgha. So the growth depends on that. So it depends on this animal soul. And this is another soul that we're talking of. And you call it a latifa, a ghaibi, call it ruh, right? And they normally say it's mujarrad anil madda. It doesn't have a body like, you know, a visible body. It doesn't have a visible body. So it's mujarrad anil madda. So from this, a lot of ishkalat can be cleared. Ishkal that comes, someone explain the ruh, like it is that piece that is placed and it's taken away at the time of death. So when he explains it like this, that the movement in the human body is because of that ruh. The movement, the growth in the body is because of the ruh. Now, if you say it that way, then you confuse the whole. That whole human phase of development is confused. Because you are saying that there's life from the very beginning. There's growth from the very beginning. From the time the nutfa enters, right, there is some type of growth. there's some type of movement. Growth means movement, right? And then the hadith is saying that this ruh comes in after all the stages. Nutfa, alaqa, mudra, after all the stages, then does the ruh come in, right? So then, when you say that the ruh came in then how did the movement come? How did the growth come? So you have to say that there's two souls. One is called the heart, right? On that depends all the growth, the movement, etc. Then this is the other latifa, latifa al-ghaybi, right? Now that perceives all good or wrong. The good and the wrong, it perceives. So if a person commits one wrong, then there is a stain. If he commits another wrong, there's a stain. But if he cleans it up in time, then the stain is blotted out, it's wiped out. But if he's not worried about clearing it up, then the entire heart is covered with stains. Then you say, Rana ala qulubhim, ma kanu yaksibun. All what he gained, that became like a stain around his heart. Whole heart has been stained. Rastul, ma kanu yaksibun. As a result of what he's been doing. So when he comes to that point, then at that point, then there is the sealing of the heart. The heart has been sealed, it's blocked out. So when it's blocked out, now it cannot receive any good any longer. Any good that is said to it, now it will become immune. Any evil, it become immune. Right. So there's three types of blockages. One is called khatam, one is called taba, and one is called kafal. ختم الله على قلوبهم بل طبع الله عليهم, right? And the last is قفل. So when this طبع or قفل or ختم comes in, and the worst and the most severest is the قفل. And there's a قفل, there's a lock around the heart. When there's a lock around the heart, then this can't be broken. Very, very difficult to break this. Right? You can't differentiate, you can't see, you can't decipher between right and wrong, can't see it at all. They say there's an angel, qa'imun bil arsh, it holds on to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And that angel, the person goes on committing a wrong. See, one is he commits wrong and he commits. Hatta each tara, until he becomes bold. Now, bold, he does that openly, not worried about anything. One is he did the wrong, he's ashamed of himself. Right? But now, he became so addicted to the wrong that he became bold. What's wrong with it? What's wrong? So he has that attitude. You know, that he became immune to wrong and he's saying, what's wrong with it? So when he comes to that point, so this angel, right, this angel, his name is Tabir, right? That angel asks Allah Ta'ala, okay, now what do I do? So then he gets the instruction, seal the heart. So when that angel, that farishta, when it seals the heart, now the heart is blocked out. Right? Everything is deleted, you can't see, you can't just progress, you can't just move. Everything is just blocked out. Allah saves us. We count sins as small things. We don't consider it as a serious thing. But then it impacts on the iman. Impacts on... Right? So your progress is stopped. You can't move in front. Aisha, she wrote up to her Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu perhaps had asked for some advice. So she wrote up, when a person, إِذَا أُمِلَتْ الْمَعَاسِ فِي الْأَرْضِ, when wrong is done, right, then the persons that like you, they begin to hate you. Just now, you're your friends, just now you had a good understanding and relationship, Now the whole friendship has changed. Now they don't like you. They begin to hate you. So when we see things not working out, then what is your response supposed to be? Something didn't work out. You look at the aslaf, what the aslaf used to do. If something is not working out, something is going against your plan, against the agenda you have, right? And it's not working out. So their whole take was, وَالْقَدْرُ خَيْرُهُ وَشَرُّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Everything comes from Allah Ta'ala. So He makes it happen, and He can stop it from happening. Right? He makes it happen, and He can stop things from happening. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ. You say, تُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Right. تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ. So in Allah Ta'ala's hand is all good. There is no such a thing like bad in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Though you say, وَالْقَدْرُ خَيْرُ وَشَرُّ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, but in the hand of Allah Ta'ala is only good. So when you say, in the hand of Allah Ta'ala is only good, then how do you work out this? وَالْقَدْرُ خَيْرُ وَشَرُّ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Good and bad is coming from Allah Ta'ala. How do you work? How do you reconcile? There are some things that suratan, outwardly they may seem to be bad, right? But with respect to Allah Ta'ala, it will not be bad. With respect to ourselves, then it's bad. But in respect to Allah Ta'ala, there's no wrong, there's no... It's not bad at all, right? So overall you see, Allah Ta'ala is the creator of all things. Allah خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Everything, He is the creator. He made it happen, right? And then you say, in respect to Himself, there is no bad. Right? There is a thing like health, and there is a thing like sickness. So in respect to Allah Ta'ala, there is no bad. That is why, see, Adaban also, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he makes the dua, وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He doesn't say, وَإِذَا أَمْرَدَنِي فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. He says, when I fall ill, then He is the one that cures me. You see that? وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. There he says, but when he talks about mars, he says, وَإِذَا مَرِدْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. So Adaban, the marz, he attributes to himself. Right? So these conditions are brought by Allah Ta'ala himself. But when you connect it, relate it to Allah Ta'ala, then there is no shar in that. There is good in that. Right? Like for example, say theft. Right? So the creator is Allah Ta'ala. Right. When Allah Ta'ala is a creator, now He, when you say creator, then He made it happen. Right? He created it. Right? In respect to Allah Ta'ala, I say there is good. Right? Why there is good? How there is good? There is good like this. And for the fear of burglary, just in South Africa itself, from South Africa, right? South Africa got about 60 million population, right? Approximately 12 million people get the rosy because of the fear of stealing, robbing, theft, fighting, etc. Look at all the security companies, right? Look at the police, right? Right. South Africa itself employs approximately 3.5 to 4 million security, right? Just for security. Right? So we say 3.5 or 4 million. So one person is representing at least about 2.5 people, because he's got his wife and he's got a child, at least one child. So 1 times 3. Right? So 4 million times 3, how much? 12. So 12 million people are getting the rosy just because of the fear of burglary. So you see, who made it happen? Allah Ta'ala made it happen. But in respect to Allah Ta'ala, it's good. Why? Because of this reason, so many people are getting the rosy and the sustenance. Do you see that? So many people. Imagine now, if there wasn't this thing like burglary, this 12 million people, how would they have they been sustained? Can you imagine? So because of this fear, so many people are getting sustained. That's just one, probably just the security aspect. Then because of the theft, fear of theft, right, Sheikh steal, all the other steals, they get jobs, right? Burglar guards and all that. Why they get there so rosy? Because of the fear of theft. Many countries, like you see Saudi Arabia, you hardly see any burglar guards. You see anywhere around the Haram Sharif, any of burglar guards. No theft now. All these people don't have business. Now, the fear of the theft, and so many people are getting jobs. This whole steel works, they're employing so many people, so they get the rosy because of the fear of theft. Right? Then you get this locksmiths, right? So many different types of locks. And the whole company, the things that go around with that lock, right? And everybody gets their rosy because of the fear of theft. Right? So many people will get their rosy just because of the fear of theft. Just because, I see, approximately more than 1/5 of the population, 1/5 of South African population is sustained just because of the fear of theft. So in him creating this, is there any evil? It's good, right? In the khalq, there is no evil, but in the kasb, the person who committed the wrong, there's evil in that. Allah gave you hands, gave you brains, gave you feet, right? Gave you strength and energy. It was for you to employ that, use it. Now you didn't use it, and you're resorting to this. Right? So you have done the evil. You have committed the evil. You have perpetrated wrong. But as far as Allah Ta'ala, in His doing, there is good. So in that respect, if you look at anything, in the creation of it, there is good. Now look at kufr, right? Kufr. The worst thing that you can think of is kufr. But in the creation of it, there is good. See, if there were no kufr, right, then would you be able to earn the sawab of jihad? Would you get the sawab of jihad? Right. If there was absolutely no kufr, right, no kufr and sin, then would you get the sawab of making tawbah? At-ta'ibu habibullah. Law lam tuznibu la dhahaba Allahu bikum. That whole hadith, right? وَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهُ right? فَيَغْفِرُوا لَهُمْ. So would you get the sawab? You don't get the sawab. So it is because of this that people make tawbah and then they get ushered and admitted into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Because of this, the whole jihad, whole kitabul jihad, kitabul siyar, so much of your hidayah is covered just because of jihad. All the laws of the asir, of the slaves, abd and abd mushtarak and whatever, all these things come just under that, just because of that. So much of the world just revolves around that. And up till now, there is war. Don't you hear of war? Every country spends about 1/3 of its wealth just on defense. Just on defense. So how many people are employed, how much wealth is making, just on defense. So you see, the fear of this wrong, and for the fear of the wrong, right, so many people get the rosy, they get sustained, all that. So in the creation, there is no wrong. Yes, the one that misuses it, he abuses it, then he is doing the wrong. The creator, there is no biyadikal khair. So this is the one level, right, of sin. I first showed you about the stains, right, stains in the heart. Then person carries on. Right. Then you're talking about the creating of sins, right? Right. Then you get the third level of a person making tawbah and istighfar, asking Allah's forgiveness. Right. And when he makes tawbah and forgiveness, then he's ushered further and further and further into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He'll cry and he'll lower himself, he'll humble himself. Imagine if there was no thing like sin, would you have cried? Would you have humbled yourself? Would you have thought yourself as a non-entity? There was no occasion, no reason for that. Outwardly, apparently there was no reason for that, for you to cry and to humble yourself and to lower yourself. Girgirane ki koi wajah nahi thi zahiri. There was no apparent reason for that. But now you committed the wrong, so in your isolated moments, you know, the moments that you are alone, you're reflecting, you're reminiscing the past, you cry, you think low of yourself, get into sajda. And how much Allah doesn't like this? Allah Ta'ala, yubahi bikumun malaika. Allah Ta'ala boasts with the malaika about you. Because the malaika had said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِيكُ الدِّمَا. So the malaika had saw the one perspective. But he didn't see this perspective here, that when he committed the wrong, then how he goes out down in tawbah. يَخِرُّونَ لِلْأَثْقَانِ يَبْكُونَ. How they cry, and how they repent, how they plead before Allah Ta'ala, with what type of heart they come to Allah Ta'ala. They didn't see this of man. So this is a different dimension of mankind. And this dimension of mankind is so great. Imagine that Hadith speaks about just two tears, right? That are dearest to Allah Ta'ala. Two drops, right? Two drops that are dearest. One is the drop of blood of a mujahid. And the other drop is the person that is crying to Allah Ta'ala. Out of his fear, out of love of Allah Ta'ala, he's crying. So he's the dearest. And then it's so dear to Allah Ta'ala. Imagine that one drop for the fear of Allah Ta'ala puts off the entire Jahannam. All Jahannam, just one drop, sincere love, fear of Allah Ta'ala, but it's so dear to Allah Ta'ala. You know, you talk about wazne amal. Your deeds being weighed, right? But all the amal are weighed. The tear that was dropped because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the scales also can't take it. It's beyond the scales. Just you teared, you cried, you know, you're ashamed of yourself, you're remorseful of yourself, and you think about the azab, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, and how you messed it up. So this tear is so valuable, so precious. Imagine, the scales also don't have the capacity for this tear. If the Jahannam is put off, the scales can't take it. Can you imagine what is the value of this tear? So, biyadikal khair. Allah Ta'ala creates all these things here. And it would seem like he created these avenues so that you can gain access. Then gain access. Now imagine, there wasn't a thing like sin, right? There won't have been any mujahada. No mujahada. There's no struggle. You don't exert yourself in doing good, abstaining from wrong. Automatic, like, you know, like you become like a clock. You know the clock? At 3 o'clock, it will just switch on. The alarm will just go on. God is God. It doesn't have to exert itself. But you, when the buzzer goes, you have to exert yourself. You're tired, right? You have to exert myself, get up for tahajjud. Exert myself, get up for fajr namaz. It's cold, etc. So isn't there the exertion? So that exertion is to oppose yourself against wrong. Come on to right, and someone told you something, and you have to withhold, you have to persevere. Right? To persevere, you can't say anything that is out of line, right? So isn't that an exertion? You're exerting yourself. So if there was no wrong, then there was no exertion. There is wrong, you could have swore the person, you could have scolded the person, you could have shouted him, but you understand that it's not the right thing, and you hold back yourself. So this opportunity of getting the sawab came because of this clash. The temptation came now, this woman now, the temptation to look. And then you think about how Allah Ta'ala will be displeased, what will happen, the malaika will record this, what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Then you exert yourself. All right, for an old person, all right, it may not be very difficult. I don't say that he doesn't have nafs. People generally make a mistake, right? The mistake they make is that they'll send a young girl or something, or girl 10, 11 years of age, to an old person over 40 something. What's wrong? What's left in him now? No, he still has that feelings. He still has that feelings. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, some woman asked him this question, that what's the in seeing an old buzrug, what's wrong in seeing that? Obviously the question was understood. The mansha of the question is, Buddha mein kya rakha hua hai? If he sees or she sees them, what's wrong with that? So Mona answered the question. I said, right, I don't want to give you a lengthy explanation to this, but once I was in Ganj Muradabad, and I was there early before Fajr. And Mawla Fazlur Rahman Sahib at that time was over 100, 102, 103, whatever his age was. So at that age, he told his khadims, just get me some warm water, I need to make ghusl. Mujhe kuch shubha ho raha hai. I got some doubt about myself. So just get me some warm water, I need to make ghusl. So at that age also, he can still have those feelings. At that age also, you can't rule it off. He can't do anything. Right? Mona is at that age, but that feelings are still there. See the caution, right? So the exertion, a young person, old person, middle-aged, all ages. And the shahwat in different ages works differently as well. See, in a young person, it will work with flirting, a lot of activity, right? Young person will have 17, 18, 19. Until there is no activity and all that, he doesn't find the fulfillment, right? It's a young person from 17, 16. He wants to touch, wants to talk, he wants to go around, right? Until he doesn't do all these things here, so he doesn't find the fulfillment. But as he comes of age now, he comes at about 39, 40, over 40, now the fulfillment is done in a different way. Before it was about touching, flirtation, all that, fantasizing, moving around, mating, dating, all that. Right? Now he comes to over 40, now he can't act like that, 17, 18. He can't do all that. Right? But you can't see that the nafsi is dead. You can't see that lust is over. The lust is still there. But just that it will come in a different way. So how it comes in this at this age, At this age, it will come in a different, a totally different way. At this age, it is now talking, more talking, right? Talking to the person, and, or she's talking to you, and you hear that voice, and you get that satisfaction. See? Someone wrote an article to me some time back. So one person, one plumber, a Japanese plumber, the court had sued him, right? So he was dialing a number. You know, you get the service numbers. Service numbers. So he was dialing that, right? And he kept on dialing that unnecessarily. He didn't have the need to. Phone that number, kept on over 100 times. So then they discovered that he wanted to hear the voice of that girl that was providing the service. He was taking a lot of satisfaction, a lot of joy out of that. So the one is a teenager, right? And then it's a middle age. He takes joy in a different way. So people get confused. They feel, no, he doesn't have anything. So he takes the joy also, but just that the type of joy he takes is different. And he also feels, no, I'm not affected like how a teenager is affected. So he feels that he's free of all that. But he still has that. He still has all that. Right. Then you come to the person that is over that age. Over 60 or over that, right? So now that person, when people feel he's a farishta now. He's past all the... No. He also has that feeling. So his feeling is just nazar. Just looks and looking, and he found that satisfaction already. So when he's over that age, now he's just looking and he finds that satisfaction. So that's why people don't consider him as dangerous. But within, he's stealing those things, he's stealing that lust. So the amount of caution that is needed to be exercised. And when a person gets into this, then he thinks he's so innocent, he hasn't done anything wrong, he hasn't hurt anybody, he hasn't eaten anybody's wealth. So what's wrong? That's how he reasons. I haven't eaten anybody's wealth, I haven't robbed anybody, I haven't cheated anybody. So what's wrong in this? He covers up for himself, not realizing that within he'd been doing something haram. Looking, and in that looking he's finished. Now, you get this social media, and you get all ages, young, middle age, and old people. And the amount of abuse just on the social media. You get young abusing it, you get middle aged, and you get old people abusing the same thing, the very same thing that this person is abusing, it's also abusing the same thing. It's the amount of wrong that is perpetrated. You see that, how much of wrong. And in this style of wrong, why people prefer this type of wrong is because what they feel that in the eyes of people, I still got my respect doing this. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Or I'm at a function, I'm looking at the girls and the women, all right? So I still got my respect because I haven't been flirting, I hadn't been fantasizing, etc. So I still got my respect. People don't know about it. So he gets bluffed into thinking that he hasn't lost any of his piety and righteousness. And he doesn't realize that he's lost everything. Everything's been lost. So this is the third level. And in this third level, a lot of people make the mistake. They say, I'm not looking, so what's wrong with that? One person came here some years ago. So he must be over 70 now. So he must, when he committed the wrong, he must be over 60, right? He said, I saw something. Social media, whatever, I saw something. So he says, now I'm making a ruku, I can see her. I mean, sajda, I can see the same thing. So that fantasy hasn't left him. See that look, that sight hasn't left him. Outwardly he looked like a pious person, making namaz, he got a beard, kurta, all that. But now what happened to his mind? The wrong that happens. So I was explaining this, you know, one thing that we should resolve in this Ramadan is all aspects of shame, modesty, and how to correct ourselves. Shame and modesty, and how to correct ourselves. Everybody needs to correct. Those that are newly married, those that are in the marriage for some time, right? In one respect is the clothing, right? And you look at the clothing of an adult woman, middle-aged, or a small little girl. But all is, there's a sexual reveal, sexual appeal in that. How you say it's a sexual appeal? Look at this girl's clothing and compare it to your old Nanima's clothing, right? Say someone, Nanima, that was about over 85, 90. Was there any sexual appeal in that? Nothing. She may have dressed it, she may have had a good dress, but was there an appeal in that? And in this cloth here, is there an appeal? From a small girl, 3, 4 years, the way they doll her up, going on to about 25, 30, 45, 50, contours of the body become visible, the neckline becomes more and more visible and apparent, right? The shape of the body becomes apparent. So is this in keeping with shame and haya? The question that you need to say, to ask yourself, is that, all right, she's going to wear this dress here. If she wore it just in the bedroom, just to the husband, it was enough. But the moment she came out of it, then it's danger. One youngster, he went for a proposal. So he said, no, the girl from this house here, I want to propose for her. So anyway, he went. Then he looks at the girl, it's only one girl, the man has only one daughter. You know, it's not the. So now they're getting worried now. He came for a proposal and he says, no, I'm seeing the wrong person. There's a little bit of confusion in the house. In the confusion, the mother-in-law also came a little bit. Yeah, this is the one I was looking for. You see, they're wearing this type of clothing, right? And then people are looking with different eyes. Imagine the mother-in-law, I can imagine now, right, if she was of marriageable age, she must have been about 19, right? So the mother-in-law must be about nearing 40. Right? If she was 19, marriageable age, then what would have been the mother-in-law's age? Nearing 40, right? But at 40 now, the way she's dressing, that this person has to propose for her. And he proposed for her, he saw her and he was affected, because she was dressed in that at some public forum, whether it was a walima or something. Otherwise, if it was just in the bedroom, then he wouldn't have seen it. The stranger wouldn't have seen her like this. Now, we need to realize that in the homes, right, sometimes that woman is getting exposed to the garden boy. Sometimes she's getting exposed to some of her cousins, brother-in-laws, because people are coming out in and out of the house, right? At some point, there's going to be some exposure. There's going to be some eye contact. There's going to be some contact, right? And they're going to see. So they get affected. As you get youngsters, very young boys, 17, 18 years of age, they tell you that the actual words they tell you is that my mother was dressed up like this, and then I went and felt her waist, felt her bums and all that, and felt all that. So what prompted this person to feel his mother? What was it? She was dressed up like this, and she was dressed up like this, then he went and placed his hands. But now, can you see that hadith which say, La ata ummahu ala niyatan. The hadith which says, La ata ummahu ala niyatan. So if she wants to dress up like that, in a bedroom, for her husband only. Once she comes out of the bedroom, then she dresses up modestly. Modestly, with shame, respect. Right? But now, she's got that clothing, and the whole house is moving around the same clothing. Right? And she doesn't know that she's attracting the attention of these youngsters. Her own children, she's attracting them, see? Let alone anybody else, her own children. So, in this Ramadan, at least we resolve, you know, any aspect that relates to shame, all right? How can we apply it? See, we come here for the acceptance, right? And you hear that a person who revives one sunnat that was dead, right? He gets the reward of a martyr, some places 100 martyrs. So to revive the aspects of shame, shame and modesty, when shame is so close, it's near iman, right? Iman is the pivotal thing, and then next to iman is shame, right? It's so close to iman that they say when that shame goes, then your iman goes. It's only with time that iman will also collapse. Shame is gone, so this will collapse, right? Very easily, right? Like take a wall here, right? And the column that was supporting the wall, that has already fallen, right? Now will this wall remain? Very easily they will fall. So iman will also just collapse like that. When the shame goes, then that iman will collapse. So now we need to explain these things to our woman. That, see, it's such a delicate thing. Just running around like this, what you are doing. So how can we start this off? And show them the reward. That if for a sunnah, that is not even obligatory, and you revive it, and this is the reward. And for a thing that is like more than obligatory, is near iman, right? Nearest to iman, then how much of reward will be that if you revive it? Revive it, the reward that you get. See, the kuffar, they plan, the strategies, to strip that Muslim woman of her shame. So they have created that culture, that outgoing culture, go here, drive around, do everything, right? Eventually, that Muslim woman felt that if everybody else can run around, move around here, there, all that, come into the public eye, then why must I not go around? If everybody can come around, go around, then why mustn't I come around? Right? That Muslim woman didn't realize that she's got something that the other woman don't have. The other woman don't have shame. Right? When it's out of Islam, then there's no such thing as shame. They can dress up anyhow. Sometimes you find half the body, three quarter of the body is naked. And if it's covered, then they're wearing such clothes that is body hugging. Tops and pants they're wearing, right? So it's their dress. It's their culture. It's their dress. You're not going to change them. And for them, it is not immodest to wear that type of clothing. You'll find people in official positions wearing that. So women are in official positions, and they wear the same clothing. So they don't feel embarrassing. They don't feel shame. So they don't have that shame in them. Now you can't compare yourself against them. So that's where they made the mistake. Is when they can do it, why can't we do it? So the thing that you got, they don't have. One of our Dioban ulama is visiting one of the Arab countries. We have hammam, the public bath. Up to now they have been Turkey, you know, they still have that. Some operate in the same style, and some styles have changed, right? So as you enter the public bath now, then you are naked. Birthday suit. You come in with your birthday suit. Everybody is there. So when this alim heard about it, he said, "No, I refuse to go into this hammam." He heard, now this is what happens. So they told him, "Boy, you got nothing different as compared to the rest. Same thing you got. So when the thing that you got is same, then what's the point in you trying to conceal yourself?" Kept on harassing him. No, I can't. So when they came to this point, what have you got that they don't have? Yeah, I've got something that they don't have. Now they became alert now. What additional thing you got? So he said, "No, I got shame, which you people don't have. You lost shame, because you're doing it all the time. So you lost the shame. And some are even worse. The bath is open for men, women, everybody. So everybody is bathing at the same time. The woman is exposed to a man is exposed to a woman. And they don't feel anything about it, like how you get the swimming pools and beaches, right? So everybody is bathing in front of the next person. The whole body, everything comes. Now the Muslim man always say, you know, for us, there's no pleasure in life. Yeah, there is no pleasure. There is no haram pleasure for you. Haram pleasure is for these people. For you, it is a jail. You have to restrain yourself. Otherwise, how do you qualify for the Jannah? If there's no exertion, you're not going to restrain yourself, then how are you going to qualify for that? Now, you want to get there, but no difficulty at all. Problem free, without any problem, go straight. That is for a kafir. For him, there's no problems, right? Then, after that, it's full of problems. If you want to lead that life, then you must be prepared for the same end. You want that problem-free life here, then the end that he's going to reach up to, you must be prepared for the same end. But you say, no, I want everything here, and I want everything there as well. That doesn't work out. You have to go through some difficulty to qualify for that reward. So anything that is related to shame, we need to think now, how do we apply it in our lives? This type of environment, how do we apply it? One is, I say, the dressing, right? One is the driving. Even the driving. One day I was after the Jummah, so I was moving, sitting in the car. So my friend, he just looked at the registration and he made salam like this. He said, Astaghfirullah, what happened now? Because the one, he looked at the registration, he thought it was his friend. It turned out to be his wife. And he did this. Now he's thinking to himself, what my friend, he's a wife, will go tell the friend that this is what your friend did, you know. Then what am I going to say? What am I going to say? See the problem that you bring about. So the easy solution for the driving is, see, already there's a need, picking up children, all that. Employ a driver. Just cut down the Umrah trips, Umrah and holiday trips. Employ a driver and see, you can do all these things here. There's so much more shame, so much more respect. There's so much more control that the woman will have over her children. The whole day she has to go grocery, go do errands, drop the child, school, madrasa. So who's going to take care of the house? Who's going to take care of the children? She lost the children just to save some money so that she can go for a nice holiday and for some umrah. But I say, is that worth the price? They started all this in England. And then look at the Muslim community in England and the divorce rate. Just go study the divorce rate there. See, all these things have a consequence. You start off that life, then you end up in that way. Right? Similar is how a man driving, right? So, obviously, a woman, فَاسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ hijab. What's the law of the Qur'an Sharif? If you need to ask her behind the screen. I ask you, if she's sitting next to the driver, right? Is this in keeping with فَاسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ hijab? وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَطَانِ. I ask you, if she's sitting there on the drive, next to the driver, is that in keeping with فَاسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ hijab? The Quraysh wants her to be behind a screen. And she's sitting here in a revealing position. I ask you, is it in conformity? Think to yourself. What the Quraysh wants, that she must be behind a screen. And she's on the front seat. I ask you, is she revealing herself or not? Is she exposing herself? Some point, someone is going to see now who's there. Right? Who's driving? And as he's looking at the driver, he looks at the passenger side, right? So she's keeping herself in a position where she can be looked at. Right? So the easy, simple thing for her was to sit in the back seat. In the back seat, normally she's min wara'i hijab. You know, you see, you're practicing on min wara'i. There's some hijab at least that she will not be viewed. She won't view anybody. And she will not be viewed. So, this Ramadan, at least, you know, at least we take something at home. We discuss these points. How modesty is being stripped, broken down, destroyed. And if you want to We're reviving this, what a great thawab. Talk about it, practice it, try and use something that where we can revive this aspects of modesty. Right. That is where you find the Quran Sharif, that it was just one woman whose name was taken in the whole Quran Sharif. And there was a need for her name to come in, Maryam alayhi salam, because of her son, right? There was a need for her to be mentioned, therefore her name was mentioned in the Quran Sharif. But do you see anywhere in the pages of the Quran Sharif any woman's name? Her name is supposed to be preserved. The fuqaha go to this extent that even her clothing, right, the clothing that she's wearing, that mustn't come into the public eye. Clothing, right? Otherwise she's got it on the line to dry and all that, right? Now people have different minds, different type of eyes, right? Now they're looking at that thing, clothing, right? Now this woman is unscrupulous sometimes. She's got her clothing there, then she's got her underwear there, right? Whatever she's got, right? So, you know, when you did Usul al-Shashi and all, you make qiyas, from the labis to the malbus, what? From the malbus, not labis, from the malbus to the labis. Hey, malbus is like this now, what must be the labis like? The malbus, what is the labis like? You're keeping in qiyas, like, you know, that is why even the voice, Quran Sharif speaks about the voice. Eh? Was it ayat? فَلَا تَخْدَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. That means that the voice also got an attraction. فَلَا تَخْدَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. وَلَا يَدْرِبْنَا بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ. When they're walking also. When they're walking, that also got an attraction. She's walking now. Tuck, 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 tuck. Right? وَلَا يَدْرِبْنَا بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ. That also got an attraction. So she must be so careful. So all these things that can attract, she needs to sit with her children, right, family, all that, and say, how do we qualify for this type of a reward? What should we do? How, within our living? And really, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you think about these things here, Allah will show you how you get out. You can do this, you can do this, so that you don't get into a situation. One woman, some years ago, she phoned. So she's now, every week we have to go to Nani's house. So then I go with my little sister also, 7-8 years of age, and I go with my little sister. So then she's explaining, and then when she's there, then my cousin becomes over-friendly with this sister of mine. No, you can't allow that. How can he become over-friendly with this one here? Can't. So, but now if I'm going to say anything, then I'm going to break up family ties. I said, don't be mad. I shout at woman. Don't be stupid. Don't be mad. Now you're waiting for a major accident and a major crisis, then you'll say something. I left the phone. She phoned up after 1-2 weeks. Same woman. So the voice you could make was the same one. You know, what happened now? Went to the Nani's house. Now, my cousin actually, he pulled out her underwear and he put his mouth there. Put his face there. So I told you that time, I told you, why are you acting mad? But your own daughter, would you have allowed this? Make a noise and get out of this thing here. Are you waiting for a crisis for you to make a noise? How stupid can you be? See? So, when she's dressed up like that, then she's inviting people, she's attracting people. Everybody's not looking at, like how you look. You will look at your daughter differently, right? Whereas she's looking cute, that's all. You won't look with a sexual appeal, right? Right? But do you expect everybody to see your daughter same? Someone is looking different, the third person is looking in a different way. Every person is looking, that person, the youngster, is looking for ways now. How can I abuse this woman? That's how he's looking. And then you are so gullible that you're not worried about this thing yet. And then the day she's molested or something, then you want to say, you know, what, how can they act like this and what? But you must understand. So any body revealing, body hugging, and mutashabbihati mina rijal, mutashabbihati mina nisa, clothing that are more masculine, like, you know, you're having a jacket now. You can see how the jacket, a man can wear it, and a woman can wear it. But it's more masculine. So that type of clothing, you know, think how can you overcome it? It'll cost you something. Like I say, shorten the umrahs. Wear that clothing. She needs to wear something warm, something that is more feminine. Throw this thing away. You'll get reward for throwing it away. See, Allah opens opportunities when you make that sacrifice. By Padi Aramutari, I won't say he was an alim or something. But when he came after the 4 months, right, at that time, I can remember very clear, 62, 63, there wasn't a thing like wearing long sleeves. Everybody was wearing short sleeves. Talia, or talia, most talia, right? So he went into the wardrobe of his woman, of his own woman, wife, children, all that, cut everything off. He cut all the sleeves. He made a noise, but then they understood more than what he did was right. So it may have seemed that, you know, he wasted so much. But that aspect of shame was so much in him. Though he's an ordinary person, but he could do it. Now, before an alim or alima, you present so many dalail, do it like this, get the shame, get the modesty. Yeah, even for 4 months, he got the right type of spirit, understood it, understood the importance, came and destroyed all that. All the dresses he destroyed. It. Right. So, himmat karo bhai, before this to make alarm for himmat karo char mahine ke liye. Make himmat for this. Sab tayyar hai, inshallah.